No man in the world.
The measure of any society is how it treats its women and girls. It's women and girls.
We create
the smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me. Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles just to attend school. Any society is how it treats its women and girls.
Good morning, good morning. This is Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa. I'm with Donna in the studio and Liz on the phone. Liz, can you hear us? Liz?
Hey.
Hey, yes. Good morning.
Hey, I'm in Brooksville at 7-Eleven, so.
That's cute. Hey, Liz.
Liz went on an adventure this morning.
To Brooksville.
Yeah.
List.
And I expect that we will hear from. Thank you. Yeah. I expect that we will hear from folks in Brooksville who will say, "Hey, why didn't you hit us up before you got here?"
Yeah, but if you're in Brooksville and you support Ron DeSantis, don't call us today.
So no one's gonna call.
Yeah. I think we're kind of asking for it.
You know, Vanity Fair had an article this morning, and I know I'm jumping the gun here. And the title of this article in Vanity Fair said, "Ron DeSantis, smug a-hole, takes time to yell at kids for wearing masks."
I saw that. It's horrible.
He did do that.
Everybody knows about him.
Yeah. He was in Tampa or something, signing something, and the kids behind him had on masks and said, "Oh, take off those ridiculous masks."
Yeah, he called it COVID theater.
There was a kid on with one of their parents afterwards, and she was like, he said he felt uncomfortable. Like, he felt pressured by the governor to take it off.
Oh, wow.
And his mom was like, obviously parental rights matter, but only those who support Ron DeSantis.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. A good point. All right. So what's going on in the world? Where are we going today? Our public is anxious to know.
I don't even know where to begin.
So we've got a lot of stuff happening, right? I was watching a show on BBC, and one of the dowagers said, "We must all work very hard to make sure that nothing else happens. There is too much happening." And so I think that that's the lead in to our show. There is too much happening, and we all need to work harder to make sure that nothing else happens. So Nina, take us into the, it's not sane, but I don't want to make light of mental illness, right? But what is happening in Tallahassee is regressive.
Mm-hmm.
It is unnecessary. It infringes upon individual humanity. And it takes us back to a time when we were less informed about the nature of human beings, about gender identity, we've done a lot of work to break down the construct of gender. And so here we are now saying none of that science matters. Welcome to sunny Florida. What say you?
I think you're right about all of that. And what's worse is I don't know if any of these people who vote in favor of these regressive bills actually care about what's in them. I know they say, you know, it's about families, it's about protecting X and Y. But at the end of the day, it's about power, and retaining it and who they hurt in the process is irrelevant to them. That's what it feels like, because clearly, like, this is awful what they're doing. And not just the Don't Say Gay bill, but the banning teaching racism in schools. In fact, like, they, in order to circumvent that about teaching history, they say this is completely normal. What we want to do is avoid teaching discomfort, like instructing discomfort. So, you know, that's a can of worms. Who's going to define what that means, how far that goes? And then the other thing is the most recent ban on diversity and inclusion trainings, a number of high-profile businesses and corporations came out, and they're like, you're messing with our training program. We want people to accept each other. We want people to, you know, have this training that is implemented is, someone said it's to make people less white. So it was one of those representatives. And I don't know if we talked about this last week, but one representative on the floor said something like, in the marketplace of ideas, it seemed like the black representatives were concerned that the marketplace on victimhood was being cornered.
Oh.
Those were his exact words.
Because they're dismissive of any type of petition to the general public and the United States government for empathy or protections around discriminatory practices and behaviors in the workplace or at large, in policing, in HR offices. Anytime people say, we know that we have these biases, and we can look at our society. The Department of Justice says, and I'm not a lawyer, so don't at me with that, but the Department of Justice says it doesn't matter whether or not you intend to be racist or discriminatory. It matters that the outcome reflects some sort of bias in your process. So if you end up with all white people, or you end up with no disabled people, or trans people consistently make complaints about bullying in the workplace, it means something in that process needs to be looked at and evaluated for better outcomes. And so I think that a lot of the folks who are saying, I'm not racist, I'm not transphobic, I'm not homophobic, I'm not ableist, right? I think those individuals are looking at that the vast majority of people don't sit around. And I believe this to be true. The vast majority of people, you know, when my white friends ask me, are you wearing a wig? Or is your Louis Vuitton real? Or is that a lease? I feel like they're making assumptions based on their biases.
Of course there are. They okay? are. And it's like,
they don't think of themselves.
No, they don't.
Okay.
Because I know you have manners. You would never ask a person that. You just don't ask those questions.
Right. So I showed someone a picture last week at a dinner table,
mm-hmm.
right, after a long day of really enjoying each other's time together. And they said, they saw the picture. Someone said, show them the picture of you in Texas. And I showed the picture. You're wearing a wig. And I was like, who the hell says that?
Like,
when they see a picture of someone.
Does it make you feel better?
Right? And then I was saying something about, I have this person, I carry it with me wherever I go. These are the things that happen to me every single day. And I don't remember this 10 years ago. It is getting worse. Someone said to me, I said, oh, I take this purse everywhere I go because I feel like I'm taking my mom, who's now in a nursing home, guys, everywhere I go because I feel like she's experiencing, like, my wild life with me. Like, this is the part of my mother. Because I would never purchase a $700, $2,000 purse, right? It's not my thing. I mean, not no shade to those who do. But we're all trying to survive this somehow. And some people use that, you know, as a tool to survive. So I just wanted to say that because I know you guys will send me mail. Anyway, I said, this is bothering me and I really want to get this little tear fixed. And they say, oh, you could take it. I took my Gucci shoes in and they just fixed them. And then they said, but you could take it to Louis Vuitton, but is it real?
Why would you fix a fake bag?
Okay. So these are the things that happen every day. If people are behaving that way in interpersonal one-on-ones, how do you think they're behaving when they have an opportunity to hire someone or affirm someone or in an investigation in the workplace, someone says someone did something dishonest?
Uh-huh.
I mean, how do you think those people are going to lean? And so when we are now saying we are being discriminated against because people hold these biases, right? Because people, a society is made up of its people. They're all of the belief that if you don't sit around and think about burning crosses or physically harming trans people, which is a serious, serious problem in this country, then you're not a bad person. Uh-huh. And we have no responsibility to root out our biases because of the implication of the harm that comes to other groups of people. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable stuff. In 2022.
You would think with the way these bills are popping up that trans people are the biggest threat to America sometimes.
I know.
And meanwhile, it's like this is the most marginalized group, and black trans women are murdered.
Life expectancy of 35.
Insane rate. And, you know, those are the statistics. If you want to, you know, break, I've had this conversation with somebody, and I'm like, this is actually what's happening. Like, they're getting killed. And it's insane. It's insane what's happening. And I was talking to a friend yesterday about this, and she said something that stuck with me, but she was repeating a quote, and she said, to be woke in America, to be woke and educated in America is to be enraged all the time.
Right.
Especially if you're a black person.
Which is a takeoff from, what's his name? I am not your Negro. Baldwin's comment that
yes.
to be conscious.
Conscious,
to
yes.
be black and conscious in America is to be at all times enraged or enraged at all times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's true because when, you know, you said you were talking about the HR and the biases people have. This same thing is happening in our court system. So you've got somebody who's looking at you, who's deciding what kind of sentence to give you.
Yeah.
And, you know, with their biases and most likely their racism, what do you think is going to happen?
I wanted to play that clip. But first, let me just do this. I've got two emails. One from Greg D. Doesn't say where he is on the planet. He says, what a blanking scumbag. This is where he shows. Read DeSantis, okay? This is where he shows his true colors of fascism and pandemicide. His excuse for opposing mask mandates is that the government shouldn't tell people what to do, which is exactly what he does here. That's what the lady said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pandemicide, hashtag mask up, hashtag get stuck, hashtag get boosted, hashtag recoke 45, hashtag CRT is truth, hashtag WTA blank. All right. Have another one that says, I haven't opened this one yet. Reason number 35, adios new college. I don't know what that means. And I hope I just didn't read anything on the air that.
Oh, the subject says 99 reasons to dislike DeSantis. I guess. Number 39, something about...
Goodbye, New College.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe something happened about regarding New College.
Clarify that for us, RJG3. Send us a second email that clarifies that for us so we can get your message out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or you can call in at 813-239-9663 or text at 813-433-0885.
Okay. So I was going to jump into the Ukraine, which we have to talk about. And I don't want to run this in the ground because I believe that NPR and other people who are on the air doing public affairs here are probably covering that as well. But I want to point out...
Before we jump to Ukraine, can I throw in about DeSantis?
Yeah, oh, yes, please. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to take a page from the book of Donna Davis.
Do it.
Donna Davis, 218.
Y'all should see me right now.
and tell all of our listeners, particularly the DeSantis supporting listeners or those who fall to the Republican side of the aisle, you should be outraged. Every single taxpayer in the state of Florida should be outraged that the legislature keeps passing these atrocious, unconstitutional bills and wasting all that time and money and resource when they could actually be doing something to help the citizens of Florida. What they're doing is quote-unquote owning the libs at the expense of the Florida taxpayer. And anybody who pays taxes in Florida should be outraged.
Well, we did start this trend. Thank you for that, Liz. That was beautiful, and I honor you. We started a trend a few years ago of I'm so petty, right? Don't underestimate my pettiness. And I think that it's kind of seeped into the ground of nomenclature. And here we are just speaking pettiness into the world. I have one from our regular caller, Doug in Clearwater, who says, Tallahassee says don't say gay and don't offend white people, but won't talk about transportation. I have something on that. Thank you. Rhymes with Rick DeSantis. rhymes with Rick. he actually writes it, but I just don't want to, like,
actually,
tempt my handlers.
Let me run through the seven words in my head. That's not one of the seven.
Okay. And he says, thanks, Dick DeSantis. Got it. Thank you, Doug and Clearwater. Thank you, Liz. So speaking of transportation, $2,000 in repairs to my car struts and shocks and stabilizer bars and tires. And I had new luxury tires on my car 2 years ago. They've been destroyed by driving on Tampa streets. Now, I know some everybody's, well, nothing happened to my tires. Well, I lived in East Tampa at the end of a street where after 20 minutes of rain, your car was underwater if you didn't move it. So if you weren't at home or you were out of town and you foolishly left your car there, then your car would be underwater. This got sand in my brakes. I've been through some stuff with this car, okay? And it's a luxury German vehicle, so it's expensive, right, to repair. And I'm not the daughter of the Vanderbilts. I just want to look good driving. So there's that.
Plus and the performance. I mean, you cannot beat a German car.
You just can't. Liz, who has two Audis.
I'm trying to get Liz's car. She gave me a ride last week.
Unbelievable stuff.
I was like, can you put the roof down for the 5 minutes I need to get home?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you haven't gotten a new car yet, I mean, then call me after because I looked up the Bubba value. We might be able to make a deal.
I will call you after.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to buy that car. Okay, we're going. Okay. I'm trying to buy that car. So listen. So we've got a lot of problems. Transportation, the biggest part of a state budget, right? And education. We're not talking about education. We're not talking about transportation. We're talking about we're attacking small groups of people who probably need more defense and protections than they need to be attacked.
Okay, so there's one particular bill which they are passing off as like renters.
Yes.
Right?
And it does the opposite.
What it does is it turns your security deposit into a non-refundable fee.
Yep. That can be charged at any limit.
There's
no limit.
So you could be perpetually charged for a fee that you will not get back for living somewhere. And if your landlord decides to switch that, they tell you have an option, but you don't, because if he or she allows you to do allows you to take a deposit or a non-refundable fee, then they have to do that for everybody. That means that it's not you don't actually get an option; they get an option whether to do it for everyone or not to do it. And this is passing. This is going through the Florida House, and while we are distracted by everything else,
yes,
you're about to pay more in a crisis right now, in a housing crisis. In this state, and it's, you know, like we're screaming our heads off, like pay attention, like get engaged. Unfortunately, what it comes down to is that politics are the expression of you know, who's in charge. And it's not good right now. Like, we have to get these people out.
So I want to take you deeper because, you know, I always do this,
please,
right?
Do.
Okay. Politics is an expression of whom the electorate has a preference for, right? And so the reason how those people ended up there is because people in the outline, outside of the urban core, which thinks it runs Florida, and it doesn't, is evidenced by the goings on in the Florida State House, that we have to do organizing in rural and semi-rural communities and help individuals vote their interest. Like, literally, the poor people, people who don't have high school diplomas and college degrees in red outlying counties in rural and semi-rural areas are sending these people to the Florida State House who are making these decisions and choices on behalf of the rest of us. And as it becomes increasingly difficult to own a home in the urban core, they're literally trapping people in these economic circumstances. So I'll give you an example. I'll tell you how we got here, right? Because we always want to ask the next question. Or what is to be radical is to grasp something at its roots. As corporations continue to expand their ownership, literally houses are being built and put up immediately for rent, not sale.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who said that even people who are buying houses right now, who have managed to actually buy a house, She said that there was a couple that moved in across the street from her. Yeah. Within a couple of months, they're selling their house and making 100K profit.
Yes.
They're out of here.
So housing has become a commodity, and people are playing it like, individual people like what you just described, are playing it like it's the stock market, right?
Right.
It's been commodified. And then places like Home Partners of America, to someone who has great income, has good credit, but simply cannot compete with cash buyers coming from corporate cash buyers and individual cash buyers from more expensive markets like New York, California, San Francisco, were just cashing out on their $800,000 house that they bought for $280,000 7 years ago. They're coming here and they're saying, I want this house. Now, this house, this Kelly Blue Book, if you will, is $160,000 as the crow flies. It's a concrete brick mid-century house in West Tampa, let's say. And don't ask me how I know all this, but just stay with me, okay?
Spot on, though. And West Tampa mid-century? That's money.
Yeah, right. And so now that house is approaching $400,000. You had a house that you bought for $240,000 in 2007 in San Francisco before it went off the chain, right? This house is now worth $1 million. You got $1 million cash in your pocket. You're now in Tampa. You're in West Tampa. You see this house and you say, oh, gosh, that house, Kelly Blue Book of 160, is on the market for 363. You say, I'm putting down 425 or 450 to shut out any FHA loans, any VA loans. It's not going to happen for you. Sorry, guys. I know you served your country, but the market is, it's a free market, right? And I'm free. And my money is not. So that person purchases that house for way over value, pushes up the surrounding properties, right? Now, all of these people who didn't have, who were sitting on this house and hoping that it would be some money for the retirement when they finally moved to assisted living, right? Or a condo in a 55 plus, their house is worth $500,000. And so they sell it to Home Partners of America, who rents it for $1,500 a month over what the mortgage would be. This is what we're facing in this country right now. The commodification of something, a fundamental human need, a home. And this is what they're doing. They're doing Don't Say Gay in Tallahassee. And if we talk to people like that in these rural areas, if our organizers are in there explaining this stuff to people, I believe that we can turn some of these folks.
I think so, too. And we just got a text message from a listener, Charles. He said, the decades-long investment by our corporate oligarchs have paid off very handsomely in an uninformed, ignorant electorate with no inclination or ability to think critically. Yes. We are at their mercy. And the worst part is, those of us who are aware of it don't really have many options to do much about it.
He just said what I said much more succinctly in a lot less time. And Amina read it with a lot less hysteria. Thank you.
I was also thinking about this yesterday when I was looking at the stock market, because the people who have power and money when the stock market is going, like this invasion of Ukraine, people made money off the stock market going down because you can place an option or a bet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to butcher this explanation, but basically you can bet on the stock market going down and make money off of that. And people have been riding this wave. And as soon as, you know, retail investors, like the younger crowd, there's something called TikTok investors now where these kids are just giving each other financial, you know, advice.
Yeah.
That's when people get in our government get alarmed, like, oh, no, poor retail investors. We can't let them do this because they stand to make some money off of playing this casino that's there every day. And it's this kind of thing where, like, for so long, people have been ignorant just to the financial system of and what you can do there. And unfortunately, I feel like even today, we don't know half of the, like, the bills I have mentioned, right, the more prominent ones that have come out, there's probably a ton of them that have flown under the radar because even the renter's rights bill or whatever the word is that is actually the very much opposite of that, it's hidden fees and fines, essentially. What else besides that has passed right now that's going to change our lives astronomically?
Well, you know.
Well, and look what happens. Oh, sorry about that.
No, go ahead.
Look what happens when consumers do game the system. Remember the GameStop stock, and they, the all the quote unquote money people went berserk when little micro buyers drove up the price of stock, and they started trying to put in legislation to keep them from doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's what I was about to say, Liz. Let me reinforce that. You know, when the TikTok investors, these kids are out here becoming millionaires at 17.5, the regulations that Wall Street has fought for so long are going to be imposed. And I, for all those moderate friends of ours who are listening, I know it's a lot of you, don't expect that the Biden administration won't be interested in stopping these uninformed investors. Remember how they talked about
it's to protect us.
Yeah, it's the way that the Ukraine reporters talked about this is not Syria. This is Europe. This is about,
yeah. We can't do this. These are white refugees. This is what I've been saying. What I've been screaming my head off about this because I am a white refugee. I know this.
Yeah.
The kind of privilege is different. They're very different.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, especially when you're trying to get out of Ukraine and you're a black person, apparently they put you in the back of the line.
Or they drag you off the train, as we saw video on the BBC.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So I have a hard time, y'all. I was saying that they're going to treat TikTok investors the way that they treat Africans in the Ukraine. You have a group of people who have all of the latitude and mercy in the world when it comes to, cutting corners, breaking the rules, and making off like a bandit. But when it's time for people who have been traditionally disenfranchised, figure out how to do the same. It's like bankruptcy laws, right? Like as soon as people figured out how to cancel debt and start a new business under a new name, it became illegal to do that in that same way.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what's happening. And then we're going to get down to this whole Africans in the Ukraine, because people are having a party and they're Vladimir Zelensky is a hero. And it's not that cut and dry. And I know Americans love Marvel comics.
I mean, they love this. People in America don't know who Vladimir Zelensky actually is.
Why don't you talk to us about that?
You guys have to go Google him and go on YouTube. There is a video. He used to be like an actor before.
I can see that.
There's a video of him playing a piano with his dingling on stage. And go look it up. This is so funny to me because...
That's the best thing I've heard all year.
I swear. He used to do SNL type skits over there, and people are now catching on who this man is. I mean, I don't care, right? Do your thing. He is,
Yeah. Play with your ding-a-ling with the piano, right?
Right. So, I don't know. I think that's interesting. There's a whole facet of pop culture that Americans are now getting to know about Eastern Europe, and it's just, to me, that's funny. But it's in addition to everything that's going on, and I feel like we did not do this topic justice. might need to be expanded.
We'll have to do a full show on this.
But
Dingling piano playing.
Yes. We'll share it on the Facebook group. Did you watch the State of the Union speech?
I heard it from the next room.
Yeah.
And I heard it twice, actually. And I don't understand why our president attacked Defund the Police.
Thank you. Okay, so I think I was also listening to that just to see, what's going on and what he's going to say. And it was going well. It was very pro-America. At one point, everybody was chanting USA. And I'm like, okay, I feel like this might be a good sign for us because there's some unity in this country. I think a lot of healing needs to take place.
Yeah.
And then he goes, we need to fund the police. And it was wild after that, what was going on social media and what people, there were think pieces amass everywhere. And there are two things there. I think Democrats realize that people, when they call somebody, they want help. And defund the police is a great slogan because it got those conversations started. But I think people started worrying about, they took it literally, right? It wasn't completely defund the police and eliminate them. I don't think it went that far. And Donna, you may know better about this, but that seems to be the central thing that they're using to get some of these ex-Trump people or Republicans that have seen that they can't go that far right.
Well, it has its roots in law and order, and Liz can help me with this, you know, from legal point standpoint. It has its roots in law and order. You know, it's been used by people like Nixon. It was used by Reagan. It was used by Clinton. Excuse me, you guys. Hillary Clinton, the most super predators, was about to heal, which really put, you know, a hole in her air balloon for her last bid for presidency, to the chagrin of a lot of people. But people have long memories for those types of things. If people are white people, in my experience, what I've experienced over the last several years, and I had to ask my husband this the other day, Amina, I asked him, it just seems like everywhere these microaggressions, like the other day I was at a Publix and I was frustrated because I couldn't get the tag renewal machine to work. So I'm sitting in my car trying to figure out, do I have a ticket hold or something, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just like into my computer, into my phone. And I hear this guy say, lock the door, really loud. And I said, oh, he must have an older person that, you know, he's leaving in the car. But he looked back at me like, oh my God, right? And I was so involved in what I was doing, I was just like, oh, he's taking care of his mama. You know, is what happened in my mind.
Right, because why would you think?
Right, and so...
Were you in the Benz or the Hyundai?
I was in the Benz.
Oh
yeah, it's piercing through the Benzness, guys. And so he walks away, and then he locks it because you have two options to lock your car without yelling out, "Lock the door." One is you can lock your car from the driver's side where you're standing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Two, this is a Tahoe. It's a newer Chevy, one of those big family eight people. He can lock it with the thing in his hand. He can lock it while he's standing there. He only said that because of me, which brings me to this next email, and I'm going to stop.
Is it the email from Sarah?
Yes.
Sarah, you might as well have called in. This is an essay.
Okay, so I'm going to read the first part of this. I understand how easy it is to assume people's lack of manners in general could be due to racist or sexist tendencies. Mm-hmm. However, I feel it can't be underestimated. How society as a whole has lost all degree of civility, 100%.
Yep.
In nearly every aspect of communication, the internet did that. Since the inception of social media, okay, there you go. Thank you, sis. People have been given a soapbox of sorts to sprout off any myriad of hate speech or misinformed opinion with little to no personal interaction with the topic they're discussing.
Okay, Sarah.
We so rarely have to face difficult conversations that the ability to hear and share differences of opinions as well as expose our cultural ignorance of one another is never challenged and therefore not fostered. In short, the echo chamber of social media, where most exists for half the day, negates the plurality of the society in which we live. We no longer know who our diverse neighbors are, but we have hundreds of Facebook friends just like ourselves. So we're in the echo chamber. I do know that not every person who cuts me off in traffic is because they saw my Afro puff ponytail through the window. I know that. I've experienced the demise of civility and manners wholesale. But I also know the old racist dog whistles, the grabbing of the clutching of the purse, right? When you are, you know, trying to buy your taco at the taco festival, you know, and a lady with like some very inexpensive jeans-like pants on grabs her purse as if you're going to attack her in broad daylight in a line with 40 people in there trying to get some nachos. That is not just ill-mannered stuff. That's rooted in race because that purse was fine before I got there. So I can tell the difference. And I just want to be clear, be careful. I mean, this is a really good little essay here, but be really careful about telling people who have experienced this stuff ad nauseum. Right? To the fact that it has affected their blood pressure, their mental health, their finances, their ability to move through the world feeling whole and healthy and welcome. Belonging is a basic human need. Be very gentle when you're casting your, you know, thoughts about whether or not which category those behaviors go in. Because microaggressions, when you've experienced racism, a lot of racism in your life, it really doesn't matter. Like, having the white person next to you who's your friend say, are you sure it wasn't racism? This is not helpful because people usually know.
I feel like by default, usually it is. Like that should be.
Yeah.
the other day I was at the beach with my boyfriend. He's Haitian, and we went into a restaurant.
He fine.
He is. And the stares we got all the time, or we get all the time, like men especially.
Mm-hmm. White men?
I'm so scared. Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Like, I don't, you know, I know what it is. And it's just like, you would think we're back in like Jim Crow era. And are we, have we, did we ever really leave? Like, I, the way that he experiences yeah. life and the way that we're experiencing life now together, it's these microaggressions. One, two, okay, but this is a thing that somebody lives with. And mm-hmm. over time, you yep. just are used to this constant threat that's out there. Like, you are just living life on guard. Like, that's it.
Right. And so you kind of understand it through that lens
yeah.
of what it's like. And it's the same things over and over and over. It's the same look. It's the same behavior over and over again.
It's him being told that, you know, first day at work at this corporation, it's like, we have diversity inclusion stuff like you can get involved in. Or
and
you know,
watermelon.
He said, I had to listen. He goes, I had to listen to Kodak on 20% volume. And I was like, God forbid, like Kodak on 20% volume. So that he goes, so that Karen, which is her literal name, doesn't have to hear it in the cubicle over.
But he don't need to be listening to Kodak because he's a colorist that kind of doesn't like black women. Tell him that.
He is Haitian, so you know, it's like right, Caribbean yeah. pride over there.
Right. Fair enough. I was going to talk about this white woman, this Karen that I encountered as a Lyft driver, which was experimental and I'm no longer doing because I just can't do it anymore. I saw what I needed to see.
The Lyft Chronicles of
yes,
Ghana.
The Lyft Chronicles. So this Lyft Chronicle is Karen, who's an attractive middle-aged white woman in late 50s, well-preserved, nicely dressed, rushes out to the car, and she gets in the car, and she says, how you doing? Which is the same as, what's up? Don't do it, y'all. Don't do it. I'm trying to tell you, don't do it. We think things about you when you do that, especially when you don't know us. And she pops into the car, and she immediately looks at the back of the passenger seat. She's sitting behind me, and she says, could you let this seat up a little more? My man has legs that are longer than most. Well, first of all, the seat is up so far already because I'm driving Lyft, right? And it's a compact luxury car that if you were to unlock the door, you have to reach behind you. That's how far the seat is up, okay?
It should be like, congratulations, yeah. I don't know.
You don't even have time for the airbag to go off. You still might go through the windshield. That's how far the seat is up, okay? So he takes 4 minutes or so to come out of the house, and he's on the phone, he's walking slow, and then he laughs and he says, I got my sunglasses. Now, this man is fine, okay? He's a fine old, he's a zaddy for sure. Like, he got his zaddy status uncontested. He turns around and goes back into the house. He comes back, and I knew that it was when she got in the car, I knew she had a black man because he booked the Uber. So his face was right there. And so she was like going out of her way. So he comes and he gets in and comes back with his glasses. He's got on so much cologne, my eyes are stinging, but he's still fine. Okay.
Ass murderer.
So we're driving and he says, hey, you know what? My friend is at a cigar bar and he doesn't smoke. What do you think about that? And I said, well, cigar bars are kind of a social occasion. And, you know, this is Tampa. It's like famous for cigars. And so people are smoking outside. And he says, well, this is in Atlanta and blah, blah, blah. And I said, she says, well, if I were invited to a social occasion, I wouldn't.
She says this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go to a cigar bar. Okay, Karen, we all know about y'all from the keto pages. We know about y'all telling everybody not to eat stuff with chemicals in it, right? Like everything is made of a chemical, Karen. So we get close down there and I said, are you going to Oak and Olaf? This is one of Liz and I's spots. And he says, yeah, I'm going over there. And then he says, I wonder if they still have truffles. And I said, I don't know because it's not, where truffle season ended, right? Late last year, but if you want the best truffles without going to Italy, go to Italy in Chicago. It's on Ohio. He said, yeah, I know the area. I used to live there. So we're just chatting about, you know, truffles. And we pull up and he says, actually, I'm going to Stillbach. And I said, well, walk around the back and then you can go to Stillbach through the double doors to the main entrance. It's like uh-huh. right there. And he says, okay, thank you. I'll take care of you on the tip. She slams my door. And for the first time in the entire, I'm a 5-star driver with no service flags, my scores are all perfect.
Okay.
I get a service flag.
Service flag?
Yeah, I got a
for
service
what?
Flag. Because Karen.
What do you know what it's...
Black, sophisticated, talking to her man, not letting the seat up, taking the seat out of the car for him because he's Manute Bol or LeBron James or something. I don't know. These are the types of things, Sarah, that we go through constantly, mm-hmm. right? That was an attack. Also, when I was driving for the First Lady's motorcade, a woman actually assaulted me. Like, she was behind me saying, big hair, don't care. And I wouldn't turn around. And the white friend that was with me was like, I'm about to collect this trick. I'm about to collect her. And I was like, no, because we're here in the service of the White House. We shouldn't create a scene. This place is crawling with cops, mm-hmm. Jane Castor's cops, and Secret Service. Mm-hmm. Let's not have an event. And yeah. So she goes and sits down, and her friend comes back and says, apparently I'm talking too loud. And just is talking at me from behind me, and I refuse to turn around.
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm the only black person in this bar besides the bartender. So this is what I mean, Sarah, when I say let's not splice hairs on that thing, right? People are losing their manners, but be very careful. Like, I know that's not what your intention was, but let's be mindful of telling marginalized people, women, gay people who say, I didn't get the job, I think, because I'm out. Let's be mindful of talking to people that way.
I mean, look at what's happening in speaking of the White House, the black women that's been nominated to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Now they're asking for her LSAT scores. Why didn't Biden? Yes,
oh,
Tucker
God.
Carlson. He's like, why didn't he talk about her LSAT scores? I'm like, sir.
Oh, my God.
Like, you got Amy Cohen Barrett, who has not even graduated at the top of her class or from an Ivy League, I think.
Right.
And you want to, like, okay, good. If you take all the LSAT scores, the resumes of all the judges, you're not going to like what you see when you're comparing it to Judge Brown. I think it's Brown, right?
Right.
Ketanji Brown. He's asking for LSAT scores. So it's only when it's a black person involved. Where's the birth certificate? Where's the LSAT score?
Right.
Oh, and we're ruining the country's credit. Remember that with Obama, which was never a problem before and hasn't been a problem since.
Yeah.
Because black people have bad credit.
LSAT scores. I have a funny story about LSAT scores.
Yes.
When I took the LSAT, I did not realize that you needed to take a prep course for them. I just took them cold.
Liz said she's all vibes.
This story is already good.
So I'm like, I go in there and there's these people. Now, this is a long time ago, so it was before, you know, there was internet things. And so, you know, I didn't hang around in legal circles, so I didn't know, you know, and nobody told me. They sent you a little, like, practice booklet with your application, and I thought that was all I needed to do. And yeah, so I went and took it cold. And there's people made good money, you know. The LSAT scores don't mean anything. It's just a barrier to get to, you know, weed out the truly undeserving people to get
right.
into law school. So
right.
yeah.
And is it what kind of test is the LSAT?
It's because I love to do those logic puzzles,
mm-hmm.
Grammar, things like that. It's like a standardized test. And
I mean,
so, yeah.
A standardized and test to get to see if you qualify on the Supreme Court.
Right.
I see what you did there.
It's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard because it's literally just like a hurdle to get to apply to law school, because you can't apply to law school unless you've taken the LSAT. And if you actually graduated from a law school, that means they thought your scores were acceptable enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because it's not a determining factor in your admission. I mean, because my LSAT scores, you know, unstudied and cold were not anything to brag about, but my GPA certainly was, so... It's a weighted thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
I just couldn't care less what her LSAT score was. Anybody's LSAT. Like, if you got into law school and you passed your bar exam and then you have this impressive record of service, I don't get
it.
Proving that you are capable and qualified to function in that guild and in that capacity, then it's just like when you grandfather yourself in, if you don't have a college degree, right? At a certain point in your career, it's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Only what you've done, what you've achieved, your accomplishments become the thing by which you're evaluated.
Right.
Not what you did 20 years ago. You may or may not have done 20 years ago in college.
Yeah. stressful.
She went to, I think, 2 Ivy League schools, one for undergrad and one for law school. I mean, she's truly an extremely accomplished person by any measure. Mm-hmm. And to talk about LSAT scores is absolutely ridiculous. And whoever missed mm-hmm. it is absolutely ridiculous to say in it. So,
I mean, you have... Tucker Carlson mentioned it first, but now it's out there and people, it's picking up steam and now they're asking for it. But it's, you don't need to go farther than just seeing that, like, this is a perfect candidate and this is what they're doing to her. And imagine someone who is not a perfect candidate, right? Like, not a perfect victim or something like that. It's people get destroyed in the media and in the conservative media and even in the leftist media. It's the hot takes that are out there and they jump the gun on identifying mm-hmm. a person or talking about them or like using a mugshot as a picture instead of like, here's this person with their family mm-hmm. and they got murdered. But no, here's their mugshot and, you know, here's all these like petty crimes they've had.
You better say it, girl.
It's almost like they deserve to die mm-hmm. because of these things. And that's not at all what you should be doing to another human being.
I have a text from Doug again in Clearwater. He said he may never vote again if they don't put her on the court. Oh, Doug, please vote. Munchkin and Cinnamon are killing themselves. Like Putin will eventually.
During the State of the Union, the two Republican right-wing ladies, Lauren Boebert and the other Marjorie Taylor Greene, while Biden was talking about his deceased son and curing cancer, and he was talking about the struggle and how he knew what veterans go through and was about to lead into talking about more funding, but first he was about to mention his son. These two women were basically antagonizing him from the floor of the... you know, with all the Congress people there, even the Republicans were looking at them, wincing at what they were saying. I don't know. It's what Sarah was talking about, no decency. That's true. But on top of that, there's so much racism. There's so much out there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand.
This may be an unpopular opinion, but...
We don't ever do that on this show.
I'm probably largely responsible for the decline of civility in society. But that's not the unpopular opinion. That one would probably be actually quite popular. But the State of the Union address, I have always found to be absolute nonsense and performative, feel-goodism.
Same.
So I boycott them as a general rule.
I do, too. And I want to go back to the Ukraine and talk about mm-hmm. the way that people mm-hmm. on international, globally recognized and respected news outlets have spoken about, hey, guys, like these people are blonde-haired and blue-eyed. They're Christian. They're white. Right. Like this is not some country in Syria, or one guy said, this is not Iraq. This is a fairly European. You have to watch how you talk about that, because he was going to put white in and then he changed it to European as if that there's a difference there, because most of the people in Europe are white. Right. And he said, this is a civilized. This is a fairly civilized country. These are verbatim statements, guys. And so when we tell you, when you hear your white friends, your black friends, or your Latin friends, your poor friends saying, I don't care about this, it's because they know that this is really about middle class white people mm-hmm. Saving each other. And I got a text the other day, an email that says, would you like to know how you can help Ukraine? I was like, nope, don't. Hit delete.
Yep.
Because I like a good story like anybody. I would like for Vladimir Zelensky to be that guy that stands up to a tyrant. I like good stories. I love Bridgerton. You know, I don't discriminate when a story is a good story, right? It doesn't matter who the characters are. But in this case, I think that we're misinterpreting the characters, that we are putting a sheen of perfection and nobility of purpose on something that may not deserve it and that deserves a much more nuanced critique than what it's getting by the media. And the media is known for looking for the conflict in something so that they can sensationalize it. And here they have just taken one big paintbrush and said, this is good versus evil. Yeah. Whenever you start hearing that good versus evil talk, mm-hmm. there's no critique and there's it's problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, and another thing, too, it's this obsession that particularly Americans have with heroes. Everybody's got to be a hero. You can't just do stuff and, you know, it's you're always looking for the next hero. And I have a problem with that.
Dr. Ahmed Badir, you sent us something. Please let me know if that's something that you intended for us to have.
No, I think that's for his show next door.
Okay. And then Elijah Daggy, I don't want to mispronounce it. Tucker's just trying to drum up more problems because he knows his viewers are ignorant and don't know what the LSAT are. We'll get a big wave in the stadium going on this BS platform.
Mm-hmm.
like taking drinking bleach and taking animal medicine for COVID.
Yeah.
Next one is Miss Jackson was graduated summa cum laude from Harvard undergrad and cum laude also from Harvard for law school. Love the show.
But
Will.
What about her LSAT scores?
Yeah, I just yeah. Will. But you know what?
LSAT scores. Yeah.
The elephant in the room is what did the standardized test say?
Oh my God! Because we all know standardized tests tell us so much. Oh my God.
Ooh, child. That's all I got to say.
I wanted to go back to what you were saying about Ukraine, Donna,
yeah.
And because I'm from Eastern Europe. We're white Muslims that mm-hmm. were in a situation where Muslims were persecuted in Bosnia and all other minorities there. And I have heard, and this is like personal anecdote, I'm sure people have varying stories,
right.
But oftentimes when I have talked to white Muslims, and they see what's happening in the Middle East, or like we in Bosnia got a number of Gulf Arab refugees or visitors or tourists, whatever it may be, they will be very quick to say that our Islam is different than their Islam, right?
Oh, nice.
And like separate themselves. And I'm just like, it's the same religion. Like if you can't, you know, you can't. I don't think you can do that. Like, if you are under this umbrella of this religion, then this is what unites you. But no, like, what seems to be the uniting factor is race in these factions. And black Muslims make up, like, a whole third of the world's population of our religion. And I have never in my life growing up heard about black Muslim leaders or the history there. And there's, to this day, there's, like, you've got black mosques, you've got other, you know, there's separation there. And it's, unfortunately, the way that I have seen this is just, it always comes down to race. They will, like, be very quick to withdraw and separate themselves or otherize another group of Muslims because, you know, you can't give a reason other than, like, they look different, they act different, they're not like us. And in the only way that's like not like us is mm-hmm. culture, which like okay, there's different cultures everywhere, but you don't say that about other white people.
Careful now, you're entering into whoopee territory, right? Don't get dragged.
You don't say that about other white people, right? And for us, I mean, for me, it's been very hard to even identify with my own upbringing when it's like I know what we're doing. Anyway, you're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5. We're here next Thursday as well at 10 a.m., 813-239-9663. You can call us there. Any final thoughts, Donna?
Yeah, I got this one text from HW in Largo. Says, you guys missing another reason? They don't want the young white children and teens to change America into a truly equal society. They just want them to be closet racists just like themselves. Ditto.
Amen.
That's a great note to end on.
All right. We'll see you next week then.
I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula, I put rocks all in my watch. I like texts from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving wrong, I do what they say I can. They call me Cardi, Cardi, banging body style.
Tracy, mommy, had some Molly, hotter than a Somali. Bird, go, Ferrari. Hop up the scoop, jump in the coop. Big dip on top of the roof. Flexing on as hard as I can. Eating halal, driving a Lamb. So that bitch, I'm sorry though. Got my coins like Mario. Yeah, they call me Cardi B. I run this shit like cardio. Diamond district in the chat. Certified, you know I'm gang, 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 gang. Drop the top and blow the brand. Oh, he's so handsome, what's